I'd love for you to turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, that's page 1107. And if you can just keep that open there. We are continuing in our study of the seven deadly sins. And we're calling them the Deadly Seven. And today we come to envy, and I didn't pick it because it's St. Patrick's Day and that it's green, and frequently we are green with envy, but it works, doesn't it? So I hope that you'll see that clearly. We've got the seven deadly sins. Last week we spoke of pride. Today is envy, and then in the weeks to come, next week, John Alcazarian will be speaking about anger. And then we'll go from sloth to greed, gluttony to lust. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Padre Greg, why are you doing that? You don't have to speak on that. We could each speak on this. Well, we're just going to try to tighten it down so we'll be looking in our lives, asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, could you please shine? You've heard me quote Psalm 139, 23, and 24 repeatedly over the last 5 years. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful or wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. The church for centuries has taken these seven and recognized that these are all ways in which temptation not only lures us, but actually captures us. And we don't just fall into sin, we dive headlong. Frequently. So today we are going to be looking at envy. How many of you went to the coffee fellowship last week? Did anyone go last week to the coffee fellowship? Well, Gary Agajanian, he really had some fun with me. He said, oh, Bodvili, you should have preached on envy today. Because this was the apple that was out there, and I actually ate that apple. It was delicious. But isn't that hilarious that this company, and it's organic too, right? It's an organic apple. And the name of the apple is envy. Now, the seven deadly sins, again, I want to just remind us that sin is not just something we do. Sin is not just something we think. Sin at its core is a denial of God's character, of who God is. And it's also a denial of our character. It's a denial that God is sovereign. It's a denial that God is the creator. It's a denial that God is holy, but it's also a denial that we are creatures, that we are created to be dependent upon God, and at the heart of sin really is pride, as we saw last week, and it's denying God and then substituting ourselves in his place. It's reversing reality. And you wonder why our world is in such a mess. You wonder why our nation is in such a mess. You wonder why our city is in such a mess. You wonder why our families are such a mess. You wonder why your Bodvili is, well, sorry, let's just include us all. Wonder why each of us is such a mess. It's because we've said yes to sin. And in our foolishness and in our pride, we deny God and substitute ourselves in his place, and we reverse reality. Page 107 in the Bibles in the pews, Numbers chapter 11. Just a very short reading this week. The rabble with them. These are the children of Israel as they are moving from Egypt to the promised land. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, onions, and garlic. I can identify at this point. And garlic. But now we have lost our appetite, or literally our souls have dried up. We never see anything but this manna. We never see anything but this manna. Now, normally when we think of envy, we think of those eyes. I don't know if you can see them. They're actually colored green. Normally, when we think of envy, we focus our hearts on what other people have, and our eyes are focused on others. And this leads to this complaining spirit, a demanding spirit, and we're looking at others, and oh, they have this, and oh, they have that, and ooh, I wish I had that. And it's all about others. This morning, I want to peel it back just a little bit. Underneath our envy, our desire for what other people have is really, it's wanting what you don't have. They happen to have it, but the issue isn't primarily that they have it, but that they have it and you don't. So the fact that they have it simply highlights what you wish you had. See, envy is wanting what you do not have, and at the same time, it's being unable to enjoy or be satisfied with what you do have. Unable to enjoy or be satisfied with what you do have. Anybody ever faced envy? Oh my goodness, it just comes to us, doesn't it? Sometimes we don't even need to open our eyes because God has equipped us with these things called imaginations. And we have these imaginations that, oh, if only I had that. I saw envy up front and just so close when I had the privilege of working with high school students. You know, it's a tough thing to be a high school student, especially if you don't happen to have the resources that your peers have. You turn 16, and all your friends get what? Cars. They get new cars. You go to a church, whether it's our church or another church, you show up and the parking lot looks like a new car lot. And you think, man, why'd I even get my license? You look at your job, and you imagine or you see someone else's job. And all of a sudden, the job that God provided for you, through which He is providing for your family, is not enough. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to become discontent with your family? I know I'm not the only one who has looked at other families and said, oh man, I wish they were my dad. Wish she was my mom. We won't even start on the kids yet. But anyway, but husbands and wives, you don't need to raise your hands, but I know every one of us has looked at someone else's wife or someone else's husband and in that moment thought, oh man. And it's good that you don't go home and tell your spouse that you thought that. But you know what? Frequently they feel it. Envy doesn't just stay in us, it leaks out. It leaks out. You know, some of us are really envious of other ethnicities. And we can say, yes, we're First Armenian Presbyterian Church. But some of us, at some time or another, have really, in the depth of our hearts, said, God, really? What's all this hair? Or some of us, what's not this hair? And I had just a very, very close friend, an Armenian girl, when I was in high school. And she was ashamed of her dark hair. She was ashamed of the extra hair that some other girls didn't have to take care of. And we might smile, but I will tell you, the pain that she experienced was absolutely real and at times debilitating, to the point when a young guy asked her out, her response was, "Why would you want to go out with me?" See, she so struggled with envy that she literally said, "Why not her?" And the guy, I remember, he's like, "But I like you." But her envy had trapped her that she could not be content. And not only could she not be satisfied with who she was, she then projected it on everybody, that no one, absolutely no one, could be happy. See, envy has the ability to see what others have or what is out there that doesn't belong to us. And even if we can't see it, we can imagine it. And we say, it's never enough. It's never enough. We're always looking somewhere else, looking to someone else, always longing for what was. I mean, don't you just love the children of Israel? If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Okay, let's just back it up a little bit. We studied Numbers this last year, right? Does anyone want to remind me why their food was at no cost? They were slaves. They had chains on. But at least we got food. Melons and garlic. Okay, all right, garlic is there, so we can possibly understand it. But longing for what was, they forgot. Did they forget that their little brother got thrown in the Nile River? Ah, but man, those onions, those were good. Those are really good. See, envy is longing for what was and what presently is not. What presently, maybe it'll come later, but we don't have it now. How many of us have been in jobs where the incentive was in front of us that if we worked hard, if we did certain things, if we jumped through certain hoops, we would get here? But today, we're not there. And oh, what is not? But again, our imaginations are something. We envy what could be. We envy what could be. Oh, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be retirement? Oh, retirement. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, but my stock was in BG&E. Oh, no. You might chuckle, but think back to the housing crisis about a decade ago, think to PG&E now. All these things that we have hoped for, that we've looked forward to, that we've counted on, of what's to come, we're living there, and it's just, there's this hunger, this appetite. And what's so interesting, it's translated not very well, but we've lost our appetite. Literally, it's our souls have dried up, and we never see anything but this manna. Does anyone want to remind me what manna is? Remember that's the Hebrew word for what is it? Because they'd never seen it before. What was manna? Manna was God's miraculous provision for their need in the desert. Okay, this is what envy does. Envy has this ability that we're always finding fault. Always finding fault with what we have, or with what's available. Anyone struggle with envy? See, again, the fact we say we're green with envy because we're looking at other people, but really, underneath my eyes, underneath your eyes, is a discontentment and a complaining spirit toward God. And when you combine envy with pride, yikes, buckle up for this one. See, envy and pride join forces to create a sense of entitlement. Remember, pride, we're the center of the universe. We've dethroned God. We've put ourselves in there. We've reversed reality. So if that gets combined with me wanting what I don't have, well, actually, I deserve it. I deserve more than I have. I deserve what I don't have. I deserve what you have, and I'm envious of you, and actually, I might actually take joy in you losing what you have. Have you ever seen someone of whom you were envious, whether it was their car, their job, their family, and something goes south for them? Don't raise your hands. Something has gone wrong. The perfect family and their second born gets pregnant. You'd never admit it out loud, but in your heart, there's a little bit of satisfaction. I guess they're not that good. And if I couldn't have everything, well, let them deal with that so they have a taste of what I have. Do you want to fire me right now, or are you relating to me? We're sinful. We're sinful. And Paul said it was coveting, which is almost a twin sister to envy, very close to it. It was coveting that showed him how sinful he was. See, you see what everybody else has, and of course, we don't see what they go through. We just see the outward expression of it, and we think we deserve more. How come we don't have it? I want you to think for a second, how many relationships that you have let go of and you have lost intentionally, and you've stopped them because of your envy? See, we find fault with what we have, we envy what others have, and it destroys us. They said that their souls were drying up. Their souls were drying up. They weren't getting what they deserve. And you know what? Let's just make it really clear. This is not just about millennials. This is about human beings. This is about human beings. We're focusing on these seven deadly sins, the deadly seven, and this morning, envy, because this is what is killing us. For the wages of sin is... Wow, we know that verse, don't we? And you know what's worse? We don't only just know it, we live it, but for some reason, we tolerate it. We tolerate envy. We tolerate having this longing of, oh, if only. Do you know what if only is a substitute for? A sneaky way of accusing God of wrong. Again, sin is a denial of God's character. Is God good or not? Is God good or not? If he is good, why do these words keep coming out of my mouth? Why does the expression never enough enter my thought over and over and over again? Is God good? Is God going to get his way? Does he love us? See, we spent all that time in Exodus and Numbers because I wanted us to look in the mirror. And sometimes it's really hard to face our own mirrors. So if you look at someone else, you might just say, wow, that's a lot like me. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing, if only we had had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, and now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. See, envy leads to blindness. When we're envying what others have, we're not seeing what is right in front of us. We're not seeing what's right there. God provided miraculously every day. Every day. And even on the seventh day, when he didn't provide the manna, he had given it the day before. How could you miss that? How could you miss it? It's not that hard. I'll just look at what you have. But wait, you have the same manna as me. Yeah, but you prepare it better than I do. See, it leads to a blindness. It leads to a deception that God really isn't good and that God really isn't providing. And again, husbands and wives, I want to ask you this question. Are you missing the gift of your spouse? Are you missing the gift of your spouse by focusing on the 25% that isn't your favorite thing? But you're missing the 75% that God in his wisdom knew exactly what you needed and provided for you. And by the way, the other 25%, yeah, he did that on purpose too. Because that's what molds us and changes us and grows us. And those of you who aren't married, are you looking at God and accusing him of withholding from you? Picky, 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 picky. And I can say that because you all knew me. You all knew me before the gift of my wife, and guess who I was? Picky, 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 picky. Oh, she's this. Oh, she's this. I read an article that was actually in the New York Times years ago, and it was describing our envy, and in it, a man was describing a blind date that he was going on. He came to the front door of her apartment in Manhattan, knocked on the door, woman opened the door, gorgeous, beautiful figure, everything was going great. He was so excited, and you know, typical me, it's like, oh wow, is she still available? And so I'm reading, and then it says, and then it all turned south. Or excuse me, that was my word. Then it just went downhill when she turned around. She had dirty elbows. You laugh. I've done worse than that. Now, maybe some soap, maybe some long sleeve. No, for this person, it was just over. Dirty elbows. That's it. Okay, let's forget marriage. Let's forget dating. How about your friends that you choose not to engage with because they've disappointed you or they didn't quite live up to what you expected and you just said, you know what? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. See, it's envy. It's like, oh, they're not everything they could be. And we get this deception that we're worthy of so much more. And in the midst of it, we don't even know how to say thank you. We don't know how to say thank you. And you may be thinking, gosh, this world is so sinful. This world is so sinful. If it wasn't for this sinful world, it would be no problem. I'd be able to deal with my envy. And, you know, let's just go back to the garden, okay? Adam and Eve are there for us to see ourselves. Even though they were perfect, they're without sin. Did God really say that you can't, you don't get it? Does he give you enough food in this garden? Oh yes, we can eat of anything except that one tree. Hmm.
That one tree, huh? I bet it's the best one. I bet that's really the tree that if you had that one, well, you know, if you had that one, you know, he's not letting you, God's holding out on you. Because he knows if you have that, you'll be like him. Okay, they're perfect. They're in paradise. And all it takes is a serpent to plant the thought that God does not love them, that God is not good, that God is not telling the truth, and they envy. They want to be like, they want what God has. And listen, we've all done this. Who wishes you were omniscient? Honest, and who acts like we are sometimes? Who wishes you could read hearts and see what people really are thinking on the inside? We long for that and we become bitter. Actually, we just go ahead and name it. We give up on longing for it and we just say we do know it. But see, envy, they envied God. They envied God. Not enough. All the trees in the garden but one, which one were they looking at? That one. All the good that you have in your life, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? What are you envying? See, we need to repent from envying. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He gave us Jesus! I know, but it really would be nice if... Really? Is that our heart toward God? No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then we say, this standard is just too much. This is just too much. God's holding out on me. Does this sound familiar? Is your voice the one you hear? God is holding out on me. See, we become envious of each other because we're not looking at the one who has provided all good things for us. See, now, the ancient fathers, they, again, had the seven virtues or the seven antidotes. And last week we saw that humility was the antidote for pride, putting God back in his place, seeing us for who we really are. And they, the fathers, always said that kindness was the antidote for envy. That if I would rejoice over your good, that could save me from being caught in envy. And there's obviously great truths to that. But as I said at the beginning, I want to just peel back one layer. I'm envious of you because I'm not grateful to God. And so I want to add to kindness that the antidote for envy is gratitude. It's looking to what you have and what you don't have and saying thank you. Saying thank you. And for some of us, it's thank you by faith. I thank you by faith, God, that in your wisdom, you know best. That the children I have are exactly the children that they should be. Really? I love my kids. How about what God says to them? That the parents you have are exactly the parents you should have. And that's not just for my kids. That's for me as a kid. I remember the days that I wished that I had different parents. And someone came to me this morning
and just made just an amazing, just such a kind comment about my mother and father. It was particularly my mother, who was her Sunday school teacher. And boy, at 14, 15, 16, 18, 25, 37, if I had had that word in my mind, how much more I would have given thanks to God for my mother and father instead of envying. See, gratitude stops me from wanting what you have. Gratitude stops you from wanting what someone else has that you're envying. See, gratitude is consciously choosing to give thanks. Constantly choosing, consciously choosing to give thanks. I find it amazing that outside the church, gratitude is the thing. Mindfulness and gratitude. I've even been told I could last a marathon with joy if just at every mile I have something new to thank God for, to give thanks for. They don't identify who it is that we're supposed to thank, but they say you can make it mile after mile after mile if you'll just give thanks, something new. And you know, it works. Especially if we'll give thanks by faith. If we'll give thanks by faith for what is unseen, for God's wisdom in the gifts that He's given us, we are abundantly blessed as individuals, as families, as a church, as a city, as a nation. We are abundantly blessed. And those who are most abundantly blessed, can you say it with me, are the most envious. So I want to ask that during this season of Lent that you would take a hard left or right, whichever direction you want to turn to get you going 180 degrees in the other direction to give thanks. This morning in my Bible reading, it was Jesus in the garden. Jesus in the garden telling the disciples, here, just you guys wait over here. Here, you two, three, you stay right here. I'm going to go over here and pray. And I'm so worked up. Just pray with me, okay? Father, if there's any other way that we can accomplish your will without drinking this cup, let's do it. But not what I want, what you want. They're asleep. Guys, wake up. Can't you just stay awake? And okay, here, just keep praying with me. Comes back. Second and third time, not your will, but mine be done. They come to arrest him, and we don't know who it is, just like chops the ear off, right? And Jesus says, stop. Don't you know that I could call armies of angels? And it hit me so hard this morning. Even after praying, Jesus could have stopped it. The Father would have let him stop it. He did not have to go to the cross. But he who did not spare his own son for us, God gave his son. Jesus said yes. Jesus said yes to going to the cross. And I want a new car. Jesus said yes to pay for my sins. And I am envious of people whose best friends live next door. Jesus gave his life so that you and I don't have to experience the horror of hell. And what are you envying? What am I envying? You've heard me tell the story, but I have to tell it to you again. Brennan Manning, a former Catholic priest, was very discouraged, so he went to the mother of his best friend, Richie Brennan, who had died in the Korean War. He went to her, visited her in Chicago, and he was just complaining, and he starts saying, oh, did Richie really love me? And actually, his friend actually threw himself on a hand grenade in a foxhole in Korea to save his life. And he was caught in despondency, and he said, did he really love me? And this mother with her Irish accent, or brogue, just said, Jesus Christ, man, what more could he have done for you? And then she started getting really worked up. Jesus Christ, man, what more could he have done for you? Jesus Christ, man, what more could he have done for you? And Brennan Manning says that somewhere in the, and I think she said it 7 or 8 times, he stopped hearing Jesus Christ as an expletive, but actually as a person. And hearing the voice of God say, Jesus Christ, what more could he have done for you? Jesus Christ, church, what more could he have done for us? Let's adore Jesus. Let's give thanks for Jesus. Let's look at him. And then we can hear, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Please stand. Receive the benediction. And now may Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who gave his life, that he might rescue us, that he might forgive our sins. May this Jesus Christ our Lord bless you with peace. May this Jesus Christ our Lord fix your eyes upon him, so that on this day of green, envy will be drained from your soul. Go in peace. Amen.